Good evening. Everything going good? Everything live? Everything is good. Everything is live. Good evening. Welcome to your Wednesday Night Live. It is not too late. You just type your question in. It's probably the best way to do it from here. And thank you for dropping by freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Very much appreciated. And we are ready to take your questions and comments and issues, problems. Of course, I think it's fair to say that it's been quite an exciting couple of days on the international markets, to put it mildly. So I'm happy to talk about that. Happy to talk about whatever is on your mind, my friends. And if you've got economics questions, any other kinds of questions, personal questions, life questions, philosophical questions, of course, happy to help and chat and do what I can to bring philosophy to bear on the challenges of your life. All right. So just while we're waiting for the questions to come in, according to Epoch Health, 75% of U.S. scientists in nature poll consider leaving the country. They didn't want to leave, but now they just might have no choice. From top universities to government labs, researchers are preparing to pack up. Behind the scenes, something bigger is driving the exodus, and one man's name keeps coming up. Is this the end of an era or the start of something better? So, whose name do you think is coming up? Just out of curiosity. A majority of U.S.-based scientists who responded to a new poll by Nature said they are considering leaving the country in response to sweeping changes in federal research policy and funding under President Donald Trump's administration. Of roughly 1,650 readers who completed the poll, which was released on March 27th, more than 1,200 individuals, 75%, said they were weighing a move abroad. The responses collected in early March through Nature's website, social media, and newsletter reflect growing unease across the scientific community following major changes to U.S. science funding, staffing, and research priorities, according to the survey results. The trend was most pronounced among early career researchers. Among 690 postdoctoral researchers who responded, 548 said they were considering leaving. Among PhD students, 255 out of 340 gave the same response. Europe and Canada were cited as the most likely destinations if they were to leave the country. Interesting. The survey results come amid ongoing funding cuts and reorganization at federal science agencies. The Trump administration has eliminated or suspended large segments of federally funded research under a cost-cutting initiative led by, of course, Elon Musk and Doge. Thousands of federal scientists have been fired or temporarily reinstated by court orders, and more layoffs are anticipated. Another respondent, a physician scientist at a major U.S. university, said when his NIH grant was canceled, he reached out to colleagues in Canada. He and his wife, also a scientist, are now seeking positions there. Institutions abroad appear to be responding to the wave of dislocation. The physician scientist said universities in other countries are seeing the disruption in the U.S. as a, quote, once-in-a-generation opportunity, end quote, to attract American talent. Interesting. I gotta tell you, I don't think people are going to view this as much of a loss. I really don't think people are going to view this as much of a loss. I think that science has almost completely nuked its credibility I think science has almost completely nuked its credibility. I think the craven nature of the scientists, the conformity, the, I think, fairly brutal enforcement of general standards by regulatory bodies and so on. I think the politicization of science, I think the lockstep global warming stuff, I think a lot of that, and of course, COVID as a whole, I think that's really messed up people a lot in terms of their respect for science as a whole. So, and of course, I talked about this many years ago with researchers. The replication crisis is a very big deal, right? The replication crisis is a very big deal. The replication crisis, of course, is that so much of, I mean, this is true in psychology, this is true in other areas as well, but so much of what was considered gospel has been unable to be reproduced. And the sort of magic thing that was happening, which was, we need our scientists, we have to have our scientists, because without the scientists, we won't have the facts, we won't have the progress, we won't have the engineering, we won't have all of this sort of stuff. I don't think so. I don't think people are buying that in particular anymore at all, at all. I don't think people are buying that at all. I think all of that has fallen by the wayside. And so I just don't think there'll be the same kind of panic. I just don't think there'll be the same kind of panic at all when it comes to this stuff. Oh no, we're losing to, you know, in a sense, I think it's like, well, and I think what's going to come out of the funding stuff, I mean, what has come out of the funding stuff to some degree, I think is going to get even worse going from forward, where people are just like, I've been funding what? My hard-earned taxes are going to what? That kind of stuff. So, and what is it that was, I was reading today? We've been in America, they went 100 years ago, they were teaching Latin and Greek in grade school. Now they're teaching remedial math at university. It's rough, man. All right. According to the New Yorker, in Japan, an AI system designed to distinguish croissants from bear claws has turned out to be capable of identifying cancer cells. That's interesting. Why not? Why not? I was talking before Trump got in, I was talking about how, you know, there was a lot of smoke and mirrors in Trump's, in the pre-Trump and American economy as a whole. It's all inflated and all of that. So financial analyst Ed Dowd says the stock market Trump walked into was a fraudulent bubble propped up by just 7 stocks, inflated housing prices, and phony GDP numbers. I think that's interesting. Now, according to the redheaded libertarian, I think this is coming off poorly things. I mean, I find this hard to believe. I find this hard to believe. 10% of all American women between the ages of 18 and 24 do OnlyFans. Could that be? Maybe I'm just kind of old-fashioned. That seems kind of hard to swallow. 10% of all American women between 18 and 24 do OnlyFans. Wild. Now, hopefully AI will wipe a lot of that stuff out going forward. Yeah, it seems high. And that's just OnlyFans. That could be other things as well, right? Other platforms. All right. Green Lives Matter was saying, that's kind of a little chilling. The last time Trump initiated a trade war against China, COVID-19 was purposefully released from his lab in Wuhan. This is according to UltraFrog17 on X, derailing his tariff plan and costing him the election. Now Trump is placing 104% tariffs on China in a position of extreme power, and Fauci is simultaneously telling the media that a new COVID virus might be coming. Coincidence. The timeline, August 2019. Trump claims he is the chosen one called to take on China on trade. He's winning handily. December 2019. Again, this is, I don't know about this purposefully or not, but this is what the X account claims. China purposefully released COVID-19 from the Wuhan lab. Anthony Fauci was directly connected to the Wuhan lab. The mainstream media uses every trick in the book to stop Donald Trump at nearly every turn. They made Fauci seem like a saint when he was, anyway, so it's pretty wild. You never know what the blowback's going to be, right? All right. Lisa Britton wrote a couple of days ago, men are four times more likely to die by suicide. Researchers analyzed the language men used who have attempted suicide, and they found that useless was the most frequent word they said to describe themselves. What can we do to make men feel valued and needed in our modern times? That is a very good question, and I hope that you do not go through phases of feeling useless or immaterial to the world. I promise you, you're not. So I hope that you will, if you know somebody, particularly man, it can happen to women, of course, but if you know someone, particularly man, who's struggling with issues of meaning and so on, I hope that you can reach out and help. Somebody wrote, this is some time ago, I heard someone say they knew a guy named Hunter in college, but he was vegan, so they all called him Gatherer, and I think that's hilarious. It's kind of true. All right. I think this is true. This is from Private Eye Russ. It's an interesting account on X. He wrote, in the state of Florida, if a married woman is impregnated by an individual other than her husband, the husband is financially responsible for the child unless the cheating partner decides to claim responsibility. Isn't that wild? Oh, somebody says this ruling was overturned in the last few years. If paternity is disproven, then financial responsibility is negated regardless of marital status. Is that true? Could be. These are in the mazes of the law, but, you know, true or not, it's a pretty chilling approach, right? All right, so let's see. Any questions and comments? Good morning from Melbourne. Good morning. This is not my medical advice, but something that's interesting that I read on X from Chris Butcher. He wrote, excess weight isn't just about how you look. It's about what's happening inside. Long before symptoms show up, it's quietly damaging nearly every system in your body. Here's what that extra weight is really doing to you. Joint damage. Every extra pound adds pressure to your joints, especially your knees and hips, he writes. For each pound of excess weight, your knees experience an additional force of roughly 4 pounds of pressure. Result, pain, inflammation, and early arthritis. He also wrote about metabolic dysfunction. Excess fat, especially around the belly, disrupts insulin sensitivity. This leads to blood sugar swing / insulin resistance, craving / fatigue, type 2 diabetes. Visceral fat around the organs is the real danger. It's metabolically active and inflammatory. Hormonal disruption. Body fat isn't just stored energy, it's hormonally active. Too much of it can tank testosterone, disrupt estrogen balance, increase cortisol / impact thyroid function. Your body runs on hormones. When they're off, everything feels harder. Sleep struggles, of course, sleep apnea and so on. Interrupted sleep wrecks recovery, hormone production, brain function, and mood cravings. Less sleep equals more fat gain equals worse sleep. Cardiovascular strain. Your heart has to work harder to pump blood through more tissue. This raises your risk for high blood pressure, plaque buildup, heart attacks, and stroke. Your heart wasn't built to carry chronic overload forever. Mental health and mood, inflammation, hormone imbalances, poor sleep, and social stigma all impact mood. Excess weight is linked with higher rates of depression, anxiety, brain fog, low motivation. Mobility and independence. Over time, the weight wears down your joints, limits your movement, and drains your energy. What starts as a few extra pounds can end in needing assistance to get off the floor, avoiding stairs, and losing your freedom. So, again, it's not health advice for me. I can't verify any of this stuff objectively. I'm not a doctor, but I thought it was a very interesting set of comments. So, whatever you can do to keep your weight at a healthy level is probably well worth doing. All right, let's get back to your questions and comments. Yeah, parental rights are really under a lot of assault these days, right? A lot of assault. I do thank everyone, of course, for giving me the recommendations for anime, which I think will be interesting to dig into, and I appreciate that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Yeah, yeah. My daughter did go and see the Minecraft movie with a friend, and she says it heartily. She was very concerned that they were going to murder the franchise that she was very emotionally attached to in her childhood. But she said it's fantastic. It was really, really good. Thank you, Anthony. Yeah, she said it was a fantastic movie, and I think she's going to put it out as a hearty recommendation. I have not seen it, though I will try and catch it at some point soon. All right, questions. Welcome. Let's see, I do have some more questions, I do believe. Somebody wrote, what personal criteria do you have to, quote, defoo, which is to separate from a family member? He said, I have a brother who is a recurring hard drug, opiates, cocaine, and who knows what else, addict. It's been 2 decades after his last relapse. I've lost hope on his recovery. He burdens our family, but only emotionally. After the first 5 years, I stopped any and all financial support. At what point is enough enough? I'd feel guilty to cut him out completely, but it no longer seems beneficial for him anyway. It's never been beneficial for me or my family. Ah, I'm so sorry to hear that. That is tough, man. I mean, drug use really does empty people out, hollow them out, and turn them into these just sort of Pac-Man consuming resources from everyone around them. So I am really, really sorry about that. What personal criteria do you have? I mean, it's not exactly an algorithm. I'm not saying that you're saying that it is. It's not exactly an algorithm like you put something in like a bubble chart or a flow chart and then something sort of pops out that gives you a sort of good answer. I would say that it's sort of a gut sense of plus and minus. I mean, I think all relationships as a whole should go through this gut sense of plus and minus. But if there is withdrawals, you know, you can sort of think of deposits and withdrawals in relationships. It's actually not a bad way to look at it as a whole. But if you look at sort of deposits and withdrawals in relationships, then you can look and say, when was the last time I got a deposit? Right? When was the last time that somebody provided something of surprise and positivity and welcomeness and helpfulness and all of that? And to have a self is to be a trader. Right? To have an identity, to have a personality, to be independent is to be a trader. And if you're not trading, you're either exploiting or being exploited. Now, in having a drug addict around, for sure, you're not, if you're not the drug addict, if you're in a relationship or quote relationship with a drug addict, and you're not really, you're not in a relationship with the addict, you're only in a relationship with their drug need. You're only in a relationship with the drugs, really. But if it has been a long time since there has been a deposit, you need to be sort of very aware of the withdrawals that are coming out of your environment. And those withdrawals, when they start to become excessive, and, you know, there's a little bit of back and forth, of course, in relationships as a whole, sometimes a little more, a little less. But there needs to be a balance of trade, so to speak. And if it is one-sided, it's not a relationship anymore. It's just conformity and compliance and so on. All right. Thank you for the anime recommendations. I appreciate that. All right. Let's see here. Let me just want to make sure I haven't read these before. Yeah, I think I read that one before. Around sibling conflict, I do get a lot of questions from parents around sibling conflict. What I would sort of strongly say with regards to sibling conflict is that a lot of sibling conflict emerges out of a sense of scarcity. If you as parents are communicating to your children that they are that the family is in a situation of scarcity, and this doesn't fundamentally mean, of course, finance scarcity or scarcity of space. You don't have to be living in a hovel or anything like that. But if there is a stress and tension and conflict, and thank you, Mobius, there's a situation, a sense of scarcity, then sibling conflicts will escalate. So whatever you can do to give your children a sense of abundance and plenty and so on, whatever you can do with regards to that is really, really important to do. Really important to do. Thank you for everything you do, Stefan. Do you feel that there's any hope for Australia socially and economically? I mean, how much money would you put on a turnaround, whatever kind of turnaround you're thinking of? I think that one of the things that I wanted to do in my sort of tour of Australia and obviously the hoped for but did not materialize tour of New Zealand was to gauge, how should I put this? I wanted to gauge people's general receptivity towards the truth, right? Which is why the stuff that I talked about, the Aboriginal issues and so on, was all very well sourced from mainstream academics in the same way that, you know, the IQ stuff that I talked about was well sourced from mainstream intelligence researchers. I mean, 17 big major researchers that I interviewed. And this is sort of true in your relationships as a whole, which is, how do people handle the truth? How do people handle the truth? They say, well, it's not true and so on. But, you know, if you have, certainly if it's your experience, your thoughts, your feelings, then assuming you're not lying, then that's the truth. Now, how do they handle that truth? How do they handle the truth as a whole? Now, a society that is being engineered to self-destruction is inoculated to react against the truth, to fight against the truth, to get angry, to oppose, to attack, to become hostile and enraged towards the truth. And so one of the things that I wanted to do in those tours was to try and figure out what was society's relationship to the truth. Do you shoot the messenger? Do you get mad? Do you, you know, whatever, right? What are people's responses to that? Well, I certainly got my answer on that tour. And of course, there were some people who were very interested in the truth, and there were some people we had, I remember, with Lauren Southern having these great Q&As. I think you can probably still find them online somewhere. Having these great Q&As after the speeches. But people as a whole, certainly in the mainstream and the academics and so on, the media, were not at all friendly to the truth or even curious about it. If you can't tell the truth, you can't fix anything. So, and that's why the truth is so often censored when a society is targeted as a whole. All right. Somebody says, my in-laws, mostly mother-in-law, never approved of the life choices my wife and I made in regards to our kids. Now, my wife and I get divorced. Oh, sorry about that. And I have the feeling part of the reason is that my in-laws have been working on her to get her back. Now they have put the kids into a private school without my approval. What are your thoughts on when the influence of parents on their adult kids is too much? I think it undermined our marriage and gave my wife a way out rather than to work on herself. I'm sorry to hear about that. And certainly losing some, you know, authority, control, and that over your own kids is very tough. It's very tough. I mean, you know, honorable parents, honorable in-laws work to make sure that the marriage is as strong as humanly possible, in particular for the sake of the grandchildren, right? So that should be the central focus, right? All right. Somebody says, in the 90s, as a cynical teen, I found most people had a very negative feeling towards being made to do actual thinking, no doubt part of the plan. Yeah, I was talking to someone today, just sort of outside the show, who was asking that sort of, why is it that we focus so much on conformity? Why is it that we want to please the group, we want to please people as a whole? And I said, well, look, we're foundationally designed to get to sexual maturity and reproduce. Right? That's what's been whittled forward over the millennia, hundreds of millions, billions of years for life. So whatever gets us to adulthood and gets us to reproduce is the good, right? So if breaking out of conformity threatens that, which it often will, right? If you grow up in some tribe where XYZ is believed, and if you don't believe it, you're less likely to reproduce. You could be marked as a heretic by the witch doctors. You could be cast out by the political leaders or the tribal leaders. The women just might not reproduce with you or raise your kids because you're sort of outside the norms of society. Oh, BitChute's been banned in the UK. Yeah, they're really going hard on free speech, right? So we are designed to reproduce. And so conformity raises a lot of times, often will raise the odds of being able to reproduce, right? So that's a plus. On the minus side, if all we do is conform, then we don't have enough progress in our societies. We stagnate, and then we're often taken over by other societies which allow more individualism, rationality, and progress, if that makes sense. Good evening, Douglas. Nice to have you by. Thank you for dropping by tonight. All right, so let's see here. Do 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 do. Yeah, it's funny how Trump said it's a good time to buy, and then he pumped the entire market. So I think there's a 90-day break on some of these tariffs, which makes sense, right? So the tariffs are imposed, and the people don't want to react to the tariffs, right? Other countries don't want to react to the tariffs and make changes in policies and then find out that the tariffs aren't happening, or he crumbles or doesn't have the political will, or his party turns on him. So people are going to wait, right? They're going to wait and see if this stuff is actually going to work or not, if the tariffs are actually going to happen. And so some people, of course, came to Trump and said, we want to work on tariffs. Other people, I think China and Canada retaliated. Other people are sort of waiting and seeing. So he's going to give the best deals to those who come sooner. And he's going to put a pause on so that people have a chance to negotiate their tariffs rather than just react, right? To de-escalate. Makes perfect sense to me. All right. Let's get to your questions and comments. My uncle and aunt, age 70, says Rachel, don't like AI, and they think it's not really could. They think it really could take over and replace humans. I think that you've got an extra knot in there. They said it doesn't follow Isaac Asimov's three rules of robotics. Why are some older people scared of AI? I mean, AI is responsive. You should send them my presentations on AI. You can go to fdrpodcast.com, do a search for AI, and send them my presentations. AI is reactive. It's basically just a word guesser. So the idea that it's going to develop its own rational Skynet consciousness stuff is not a thing. So, you know, they're probably believing a bunch of hype that's coming out of the marketers, right? All right. Rob Burville says, Steph, the way that YouTube banned you seems unjust. But did YouTube have any reasonable option but to ban you? If YouTube had not banned controversial figures like you, it likely could have been the end of the YouTube platform, as the politicians would start attacking the platform pretty hard. YouTube have a gun on their head. Do they comply to the government in the same way that we all comply and pay our taxes? Your thoughts, please. Yeah, it's a perfectly reasonable supposition that part of my bans were as a result of pressure from various government agencies or actors. So, in which case, I don't have any particular issue with what they did. And honestly, I don't look back and say, gee, I wish I was still on YouTube. I really don't. All right. Somebody says, good evening, Steph. I started playing Minecraft last year, but I missed out on the era of your Let's Play videos with Izzy. Do you two still play? We don't. She's 16. She has other activities and so on, right? And thank you for the tip, Roberville, sorry, I appreciate that. All right. Somebody says, hey, Steph, just joining. My question is, what is your opinion on being in a relationship but always having, always having the nagging feeling of should I stay or should I go? It will be our 2-year anniversary soon, no marriage or kids, both mid-20s. She's a nice girl, given the sexual abuse she suffered as a young child by the hands of a live-in boyfriend of her mother. Sorry to hear that. Her family is a mess along the same lines. When I brought up these concerns and saw that would translate, how that would translate into raising kids, she'd be careful to not let her parents be too involved. What is always striking to me about the situation was that her parents divorced, her parents divorced, didn't notice anything was wrong, and it took her dad's new wife to raise questions. Her mother had custody. It goes deeper, but this is just broad strokes. I haven't been the best boyfriend. We've been on the rock twice already with me taking a break, which lasted a day, and then she caught me texting a girl, not sexually, but one who I had had a quick online relationship with. But it ended up not working because the conversation and interest were not there. Apologies for the ramble. Well, might be time to have a sit for this one. So has she gone to therapy for her sexual abuse? Is she an untreated victim of sexual abuse? If she is an untreated victim of sexual abuse, it seems to me quite unlikely that you will be able to have a positive and productive relationship as a whole. Sorry. I mean, that's a very, very big issue. She went to a few appointments. Yeah, I don't know the, and don't talk about it here, of course, so I don't know about the extent and depth of the sexual abuse she suffered, but I would not assume that she's going to be able to just deal with this on her own. She, obviously this is just my humble advice, right? But if I were in your shoes, I would tell her that she must go to talk to a specialist in dealing with sexual abuse. She suffers from anxiety, but I think it stems from her ability to not trust the people around her. Sure, but given that she's in her mid-20s, the issue is not that she doesn't trust the people around her. That's not the issue. The issue is that she doesn't trust her own judgment, right? It's not that we don't trust people, it's that we don't trust ourselves, right? That's the important thing to really understand about this. It's not that we don't trust others. It's that we don't trust ourselves, because if we trust ourselves to make good decisions about who's in our life, then we're fine, right? But I suppose my question would be, what's wrong with finding a girl without that kind of traumatic history? And what's wrong with that? What's if things are kind of stalled with that kind of stuff? What's wrong with finding somebody who has a more stable history and doesn't have all of this stuff to overcome? Because here's the thing. I mean, if she is an untreated victim of severe or significant sexual abuse, that's going to have a spillover into your own romantic and sex life. And that's a lot. It's a lot to sit with. Somebody says, my dad's mom died when he was a baby. Do you think it is better for a boy to be raised only by a father or only by a mother? Well, statistically, children do better when raised by a single father than by a single mother. So I can't, I'm not sure of all of the reasons why, but statistically that does seem to be the case. All right. Get back to your questions and comments. Now, of course, it could be that, it could be that as somebody who, a single dad has more resources if he's able to stay at home, so it could be socioeconomic to some degree. But uh, Yeah, generally, single dads do a better outcome job than single moms. And some sort of older religions, if there's a sort of family separation, then the moms get the kids until about the age of 7, and then the kids go to the dad. And mothers were generally considered to be better in early childhood, and then the dads are better later childhood. All right, let me see if there's any other questions or comments. This woman wrote, because the question still sort of sits around as a whole. Men are not approaching women anymore. How do we fix that? This woman wrote, just curious, what actually makes a guy approach a woman? I'm 25, female, and I consider myself attractive. I think I'm fairly pretty. I take care of myself, feel good about how I look, but I never get approached. I notice guys making repeated eye contact with me, but it never goes beyond that. Honestly, both of my past relationships started because I made the first move. So I'm wondering, what makes a guy actually go for it and approach someone? Also, is there a way to give off I want to be approached energy? I'm not really into dating apps, and I'd love to meet someone in person. I'm not against making the first move, but I'd love for someone to approach me for a change. And this is in response to a man saying, unless a woman gives me an irrefutable sign she wants my attention, I will never in a million years approach her, because nowadays we are taught that women want to be left alone. And we are perceived as a nuisance at best and a threat at worst. So this woman wrote, story time. When I was 22, my best friend and I were at a bar in Charleston. She was very cute, well-endowed, outgoing, blonde, and I made the comment that I wish I could attract the attention of men the way she does. She said, that's because I approach them and flirt with them, and you just sit at the bar being quiet with that intimidating resting bitch face of yours. All you have to do is smile at them or do something that doesn't make them think you're going to bite their head off. I couldn't argue with her, and she wasn't the first one to point out that I had a snobby, intimidating look. I wasn't snobby at all. I was actually just crazy shy and awkward around people I don't know. So I asked her, what the hell am I supposed to do? Just pick some dude at the bar and wink at him? She screamed, yes! I said, fine, I'll do it, but it's not going to work, and I'm going to feel like an idiot. So I scoped out a cute guy sitting on the opposite side of the bar. I looked at him, he looked at me, and then I smiled and winked at him. In 30 damn seconds, he was sitting next to me buying me a drink, and we ended up dating for a few months. So, yes, ladies, for most men, all they need is some indication that you are open to being approached by them and that they won't get kicked in the crotch for the effort. Right? I think that's also a thing, of course, at the moment, which is what if you're being videoed and, you know, it happens to blow up on social media and you're a creep who is, you know, the woman just wants to sit there and enjoy blah, blah, blah. And it's been very much a psyop from the media as a whole, right? It's been very much a psyop. For the media as a home, as a whole to and nothing in the media is accidental. Certainly the mainstream media, like nothing. Nothing is accidental. So programming, it appeals to women's vanity to be exasperated at how many men approach them. And it definitely does lower the birth rate to intimidate men into leaving women alone. And I'm just here with my girlfriends. I'm not here to get picked up. Stop being so desperate. Right? All that kind of stuff, right? All right. Starting a PhD is associated with a considerable worsening of mental health. After entering their program, students start seeking a lot more psychiatric medication for managing that bad mental health. Yikes. Yikes. All right.
Let's see, what else do we have? Ah, thank you for the tip. I appreciate that.
Did I ever watch Emily W. King social media posts of women complaining about men approaching her? Hate men who do it unless she thinks you're attractive. Is she on X? Emily W. King. Let me have a look. All right. I will go have a look. And of course, it's not particularly organic what happens on social media, right? So when, if China wants to lower the birth rate in the West, then what it does is it promotes all of these, oh, can you believe this creep approached me stuff, right? Steph, how do you think the future of society will look given that so many men are finally waking up to women's behavior? So many men are now refusing to get married to a woman after she's had her fun. Well, it's not female nature. It's female nature plus the state, plus taxation, plus the welfare state, plus old age pensions, plus free healthcare, plus, right? Alimony, child support, right? Somebody says, even in the 90s, a friend made the mistake of hooking up for a one-night stand. Her girlfriends convinced her she was assaulted. He was arrested, charged, went to trial. Jury came back after 30 minutes, not guilty. Cost him 100,000 Canadian. Well, that's tough. But yeah, I mean, you're really taking your life in your hands if you sleep around that way. It's not good. It's not good. All right. See if I have any other questions, comments, issues, challenges. What is on your mind? I'm happy to help. All right. What else do I have here? Here's the Kamala Anthony story I'm quite fascinated by, but we'll go into that another time. All right. Let's see here. Let me check. Over here, too, for questions. All right. Going once, going twice. Questions, comments. Yeah, is oil down to 50, 55 bucks a barrel? Wild, right? I do love how people are complaining that Trump is, you know, you said this and now you're doing that. You said this and now you're doing the other. That's all crazy stuff. Of course, he's going to have to be flexible. And of course, you don't signal everything that you're going to do, right? All right. Just see if you had any. Have you ever attended a Toastmaster meeting, Steph? I have not. Hey, Joe. Nice to see you. I have not attended a Toastmaster, but I had an employee once who wanted to get more into sort of sales and marketing, and I suggested that they join Toastmasters so that they get more used to sort of public speaking and so on, right? It's an old Seinfeld joke. The people are more afraid of public speaking than death. In other words, if you're at a funeral, you'd rather be in the coffin than giving the eulogy. And of course, we tended to avoid public speaking because usually public speaking was you having to defend yourself against an angry mob. So it was pretty dangerous trying to avoid those kinds of things. But if you can get used to public speaking, and I had a whole video I did like 15 years ago, how to be a good public speaker and so on, which is basically the idea that, you know, if you have Bob and Sally, two friends that you think would get along and really hit it off, maybe be a couple, and you introduce them to each other, you're only caring about what Bob thinks about Sally and what Sally thinks about Bob. You're not thinking what both of them thinking about you, or either of them thinking about you. And so when you're giving a speech, you care about the ideas connecting with the audience. You're not thinking about, well, what does the audience think of me? You're thinking about, what does the audience think of these ideas? It really helps. Somebody says, honest question, do women actually get anything from seeing photos of the male member? I constantly hear stories of guys sending these kinds of photos to women. I assume there must be some marginal success rate if guys keep doing that. But as a guy, I don't want to see mine. I don't know. I can't imagine anyone else either. So why do guys keep sending dick pics? I couldn't honestly tell you. That's either above or below my pay grade, but certainly beyond my wheelhouse. I could not possibly tell you why men send dick pics to women. I assume that it has something to do with a scattershot, right? Like I had, there was a guy I knew many years ago from England who basically would just go up to girls in bars and say, right, that's it, you're pulled, and just try and get them to sort of go elsewhere and snog, which is sort of make out or whatever, right? And he said, you know, like, yeah, 19 times out of 20, you just get a drink thrown in your face or slapped, the woman just rolls her eyes. But, you know, that one time, and it's pretty efficient, you know? It's pretty efficient. What's your take on residential schools? Our conservative MP in BC has a movement to have him resign because based on statements that residential schools weren't a genocide or downplaying, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on it. Well, I mean, it was a government program. It was a government program that was designed to take the native children from the native environment, which has, I mean, I've been up in the reservations. It's pretty rough on kids, to put it mildly. So the residential schools was a government program to attempt a forced integration of native children into sort of white European Protestant, largely Protestant society as a whole. Well, I mean, there was certainly Catholic stuff there as well. So, yes, I think that taking children from their parents and trying to force integrate them into other cultures is bad. Government programs as a whole are morally bad. So I think that we should learn our lesson and not try social engineering through state power. So somebody says, I'd love to know more about the creation and implementation story of the angels from the future. They were my favorite part. Possible cataclysm prequel. Certainly possible. Certainly possible. Somebody says, my question is about the nature of sophistry in art. When obscuring the philosophical message under titillating, disturbing, and thought-provoking aesthetics is an end that justifies the means. That is why I expanded on the context. Oh, sorry. Okay. That was this person who's giving me a lot of messages about anime. Thank you, Boa. Appreciate the tip. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. All right. People never heard of a negotiation strategy make a big threat to scare people into negotiation. Yeah, sure. Sorry about the typo in my above comment. I can't believe Izzy is already 16. I have a 2-year-old girl and a 10-week-old baby boy. Well, congratulations, Rachel. That's beautiful to hear. Love to hear it. Love to hear it. Congratulations. More Free Domain listeners who become parents, and the more parents who become Free Domain listeners, the more meaningful and better my life is as a whole. I did see a very sad tweet of a woman who has two twins, and she's going back to work after 3 months. Oh my God. It's just horrendous. People say, well, we can't afford, blah, blah, blah. Of course you can. Of course you can. Just, God, Lord, I'd rather live in a trailer park and spend time with my child or children than go take some email job and not spend time with my own offspring. It's very sad. Like 90, 95%, like 70, 75% of the time you spend with your kids is done by the time they're 12 or 13, and like 90, 95% of it by the time they're 18. IKR, so I don't know what that means. Oh, I know, right? Oh, I know, right? My niece turns 27 at year's end. Yeah, Izzy's going to be, gosh, she's going to be 17 in 6 months. How's your throat, Steph? Yeah, not bad. Not bad. I had a virus hit my ear, and it's cleared, but it's just taking some time to recover. So I'm sort of going back to regular volume. I checked with the doctor, and it's fine. So I'm going back to regular volume, but it's going to take a little bit of time for the discomfort to pass. Things are kind of just swollen and messed up in my ear. But it's fine. Just part of the joy of life as a whole. All right. Going once, going twice. Do-do. Somebody says, I live next to one of the wealthiest reservations in the entire United States. Due to the casino and the ban on gambling in the 4 surrounding states, they make a huge amount of money and distribute massive amounts to the tribe members. We're talking free healthcare, dental housing, 75K turning 18, large bi-yearly lump sum payments. The drug issues, laziness and listlessness are unbelievable. Socialism doesn't work. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. What goes on? I mean, child abuse as a whole, but in certain communities, and I would say, what is it? Let's see here. Let's see here. What do we got? Child sexual abuse is a severe and concerning public health problem globally, but some children are at higher risk of experiencing it. The harms caused by colonization and particularly the intergenerational legacy of residential schools would presumably increase the vulnerability of indigenous children in former British colonies. Among 282 indigenous participants in Canada recruited from prime panels, childhood sexual abuse was reported by 35% of boys, 50% of girls, and 50% of trans and gender non-conforming participants. These rates are substantially higher than global meta-analytic estimates, 7.6% of boys and 18% of girls. So that's, you know, 4 times, 2.5 times. Yeah, it's just horrendous. It's really terrible. Now, of course, they have to make it, you know, white people's fault, blah, blah, blah. That's sort of inevitable, right? And I don't know, in terms of the history of the residential schools, I don't know how much the residential schools were in response to the amount of abuse that was going on in the reservations. Indigenous children under the age of 15, 7% of the overall population of 14-year-olds and younger. But in 2011, almost half of children in foster care were Indigenous. It is very tough. Very tough to grow up. It is very tough to grow up in the indigenous society for children. All right. Let's see here. Yeah, sorry. I'm going to page through looking for a lazy chart. Inuit, of course, is also a big issue. Suicide among the Inuit in Nunavut occurs at a rate of about 110 deaths per 100,000 people, which is about 10 times the rate in the rest of Canada. Among young men aged 15 to 24 in Nunavut, the suicide rate is more than 500 per 100,000, close to 50 times the national rate for this group. Crazy. The study on this very high suicide rate among the Inuit, the study also makes a strong association between suicide and childhood physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. Almost half of the suicide group were abused in childhood, compared to almost a third of the comparison group. When separated out, 15.8% of the suicide group experienced sexual abuse in childhood, compared to 6.7% of the comparison group. Yeah, it's very, very rough. All right, let's get to your last questions. Somebody says, credit to my dad for doing one thing right. After about age 10, no allowance given, but did chores like mowing the lawn or snow shoveling to earn pocket cash. Had flyer route at age 12, earned my money, respected money, and what came with it. Somebody says, so at age 16, worked Saturday mornings cleaning an auto body shop. 18, pumped gas, cleaned Koyup car wash. Yeah. I mean, work is good. Work is good. To consume without producing is, I think, pretty bad for mental health as a whole. All right. All right. Any other last questions or comments? Happy to hear. I love this woman. This is a very famous tweet. This woman said, just bought him food, slept with him, and then sent him home in an Uber. Let's see how men like it. It certainly is the case that Trump makes politics interesting again. It certainly is the case. Somebody says, has anyone tried creating a gentleman's club that's technically open to everyone, but just has a really heavy door? Well, quite funny. I like panicans. That's a new title for those who are panicking. It's funny, of course, all the people who wanted to completely destroy society over COVID and now completely panicking over tariffs. That's, I don't know. But it's confusing for people. They don't understand. I mean, whatever you say about Trump, he definitely is very keen on putting Americans first, right? He's very, very keen on protecting America, and he really wants the 5 million toasted manufacturing jobs to come back and all of that. So it is very confused. They don't quite understand what does it mean that there's a politician who actually is really caring about, you know, you can agree with him, right or wrong, but he really does care about America and the American middle class and American workers and so on. So it is, it's very confusing. It's sort of like if you've ever, you know, if you've had a couple of exploitive relationships and then you come across someone really kind, people just get kind of messed up. Like, what the hell's going on? How could this be? How could this be? How can someone be kind? There's something weird going on. All of that, right? Now, of course, if they switch to tariffs and they can eradicate the income tax, there's some talk, you know, believe it when you see it, right? There's some talk of eliminating the income tax for people making under $150,000. Oof. Oof. Wild. Countdown to AFD ban. All right, let's see. All right. Joe says, I finally started a business. We'll want to call in. Yeah. You want a paid call in? Absolutely, man. Freedomain.com/call. Freedomain.com/call. I don't know what website that is you type in there, James, but it is not correct. Oh, I guess fee domain. There's a fee for the private calls. Somebody says, my name is Bobby. I'm very lonely, isolated, and depressed. Live in LA, 25 years old, male. Oh, well, sorry to hear that, Bobby. Feel free to join any of the various Freedomain forums. Introduce yourself and see if you can find anybody around who's into philosophy and wants to chat about these kinds of things. It might be very helpful. All right. If somebody says, I want an American-made toaster made of solid steel that is so durable and heavy, you have to deliver it with a forklift. Nice. Freedomain.com/call. Yeah, private call-ins are, of course, more than welcome. Public call-ins, more than welcome as well. It's your choice, free or paid. Paid is nice because it's totally private and we can talk about, you know, details, numbers, finances, particularly if it's sort of a business call. That can be very helpful. I just did a business call the other day with someone. She was very helpful, helped them get their business sort of sorted. I mean, I've had a lot of experience in the business world now. A lot of experience in the business world by now. All right. Just any other last questions or comments? Excuse me. How rude. My apologies. All these people who were like, the stock market is down 10%, all that kind of stuff, right? Crazy. Somebody says, how will people make a living once most of the office jobs are replaced by AI and physical jobs will be much lower paid since all the layoffs from the office start to switch to manual labor jobs? Will there be universal basic income in rich countries and back to individual animal farm agriculture living in the country? How will people in the city manage? Will the real estate prices crash when people lose their jobs en masse? Sorry, why do you care? Why do you care? What does it matter to you? What can you do about it? And why do you care? Who knows? I mean, maybe you're asking for some sort of investment scenario or whatever. You know, as a whole, I mean, it's just my particular perspective, so take that for what it's worth. As a whole, for me, I care about as much about other people losing their jobs as they cared about me losing my platforms. Now, I'm not saying this has to be your approach. But I'm certainly telling you that my perspective is people, you know, did people rally en masse and say, gee, we got to go with Steph to new platforms and keep his show going and so on, right? Now, of course, I'm not saying everybody, of course, but, you know, a lot of people as a whole. So the great thing about having the world not really care about you as much is you don't have to care about the world as much. And I really did care about the world, perhaps to an unhealthy degree for a lot of my career. And being free of that is really, really nice. Really nice. But I mean, you know, people will adjust. They'll figure things out. I mean, in the 1900s, early 1900s, like 80% of America was involved in agriculture. Now it's like 2%, and people will just figure things out. I just like to think about how the software will look. I use AI to make software, so I don't think it would be a threat to me. Yeah. For sure. All right. Well, I will stop here. I really, really do appreciate everyone's time tonight. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Really would appreciate that. And if you've got more anime suggestions. Oh, Alex Jones was on Tucker. Yeah. Your stream last week kind of blew my mind, being able to buy a house in the 70s and pay it off in 2 years. I spent 2 years saving for a new used truck and I thought I was doing well. Yeah. So yeah, freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Really, really do appreciate everyone's time, care, and attention and thoughts tonight. If BitChute is being banned in the UK, you maybe go over and donate a little, show them some love. They are fighting an interesting fight. So lots of love from up here, my friends. I will talk to you on Friday night. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful evening, and lots of love from here. Bye.